Well, I don't know. I hope my voice holds up. I haven't preached for three times in I don't know how many years, but here we go. Well, it's been a long time. And just a little bit more about the uniform. People have said, well, you can still get into your uniform? Well, yeah, I can, you know, after all these years. Okay, I'll give away my age right now. This uniform was issued to me in 1970. Okay, click, click, click. Okay, all right. And so I've had it a little while, but it's useful. This particular kind of uniform is only meant for the very special kind of ceremonies. You wouldn't wear this in combat or whatever. Although George Custer wore the blue and the yellow, even when he went down, or his troops at least did, I think he was probably in white. And as I said told the children, the shoulder clips simply say that I'm an officer plus a chaplain, and the cross reminds people that you are a chaplain. You kind of stand out from the crowd there. Chaplains are pastors, as I told the kids, who simply go with the troops wherever they go. So much for that. Yeah, active duty, 5 years. Okay, got that behind us. Now, as I try to get some thoughts together to share with you this morning, and then reviewed what I said here a few years ago, almost to the day, reality set in, and I realized that there are still some things worth repeating in which most people have soon forgotten anyway. You know, they say that whenever most people leave a church on a Sunday morning, they have forgotten what the pastor preached on by the time they get out to the parking lot. You know, so I'm not hopeful that any of you remember anything I said years ago. So you get an idea kind of where we're headed in the next few minutes. At that, I have included some add-ons that I had not included in previous sermons that I preached on Veterans Day here. Veterans Day, let me put it this way, or ask a question. What exactly is Veterans Day? Well, it's all about our great country, America. And it is all about who got us here and established our nation as the greatest republic that has ever existed anywhere at any time. And in part, what I want to say this morning to all of us is, vets got us here. Vets got us there. And to me, they stand in the ranks of our forefathers who laid down their lives to establish this nation. They, to me, were amongst our very first freedom fighters on the front lines, daring to put their names at risk of death, which they did. Many of them died because of it. Daring to put their names on documents like the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, because they knew that was right and the right thing to do. We must never forget that, nor forget them. So Veterans Day is all about those who got us here as they served and sacrificed during their time to this country, and especially in the military. This is a weekend to especially honor and be grateful for their service and sacrifice. They are all the who behind this special weekend in this special time of recognition that brings us here today. Why are we doing this? That's the reason. Yes, some things are worth repeating. It's like Christmas. Do you change the story of Christmas? No. We repeat it. Or Easter. We keep repeating it. Same thing, word by word. And veterans and Veterans Day and this remembrance ought to be like that. We don't change anything. We just keep repeating it from generation to generation. And as you leave here today, you're going to be, I hope, better prepared to answer the question, how did we get here as a great nation? Who got us here? And then we won't forget it. Several years ago, a group of people got together here in South Dakota, and they decided that they wanted to get as many World War II veterans to Washington, D.C. as possible to visit their World War II memorial monument before they died. How many of you have been out to Washington, D.C.? Have you seen the monuments? Yeah. Okay, quite a few of you. So they did. They got these people together, these jet airplanes and vets were soon in the air. And those flights to Washington, D.C. came to be known as honor flights, to honor older vets for their service and their sacrifice for America, and to secure our freedom as Americans, and to get them to their memorial before they died. And I was living in Webster at the time. I've got Webster friends here this morning. I was living in Webster at the time, pastor of the Methodist Church over there, when these flights were being organized, and one of them would soon be filled with veterans just from Dade County. And so I was asked, John, would you accompany that plane load of Dade County vets? Would you go as a guardian? And to go on that one night stay in our nation's capital and to assist veterans where needed. I've never pushed so many wheelchairs as I have in Washington, D.C., but it was a great privilege. I loved every minute of it. So obviously I accepted the invitation, and what a trip it was, to say the least. I'll never forget the excitement and the youthfulness of those seniors. And they were all, you know, 80-ish, 90, maybe some were even older than that for those 2 days. Well, for anyone who has been in the military, do you know what the most important time of the day is? It's mail call. Mail is usually the highlight of every day, and so on the flight home from Washington, 150 of us on this plane, the attendants, flight attendants came by, and they were handing out envelopes. Each vet was handed a handmade thank you card with a few words written on the card made in a classroom by local elementary students from the Webster schools in the surrounding area. It was quiet. It was quiet. And I don't think I saw a dry eye as I looked kind of all the way down the aisle and looked on the faces of these veterans as they were reading these notes from these kids. And so on the day we arrived, we immediately made our way to their memorial. And then several of us made our way over to another memorial. It actually appeared at first to be a wall, and I thought it was buried in the ground. It was so low, low profile. And it was the Vietnam Monument, where we found 58,220 names engraved on the monument, all killed in action in Southeast Asia. And I couldn't help but place my fingers, and when you go to that monument, it's probably not like other monuments, you gotta put your hands on the monument because you wanna feel the names that are there. You have to do it, and I did that. And as I did that, many of those names became faces because I had met many of them while in Vietnam when I was their army chaplain. Having met them while out in the jungle, or while high on a mountaintop called fire bases, where the howitzers, the big guns, were placed, where I lived a lot of my life when I was in Vietnam, by the way, where the enemy on the fire bases threatened us night and day. So as I stood at the wall there in Washington, D.C., I thought a lot about all veterans, and I thought about what makes a veteran tick. Who in the world are these people? And I thought about the characteristics of a vet. What's a vet made of? What's deep down inside someone called a veteran? Someone today maybe on active duty or serving maybe in the guards or the local reserve units that we have here in town. And so I made a list, and I'd like to share a few of those characteristics that I've come up with and just see if there's something about them here for all of us of any age to find of some value here this morning and maybe to put to good use in our lives when we live here, when we leave here today. Now, one of the characteristics, number one, I found in veterans of the years, is their willingness to sacrifice, to put the interests of others above their own, to put their lives on the line, oftentimes in doing that. Being a vet is often very risky business. Any of us can pick up a career that's comfortable and will serve us well for a lifetime, to find our safety zone and stay there, let others sink or swim. I've got to take care of myself. I've got a family to raise. True risk takers get out of the boat and may not walk on water, but they see service to others as a life best lived. Others before self-interest. So parents, we in the Christian home, here in our local church, is where we first learn about such important life building blocks. And let's not let anybody take that from us or tell us that's not right. You're doing something wrong. But take former couldn't help but think of him because of where I preach on Sundays now, a lot. Take former Vice President of the United States and former Senator Hubert Humphrey. Some of you are old enough to remember him. Some of you are too young to even know who he is. Read about him in history books. Do you know that Hubert Humphrey, our former Vice President, Senator, was born in Wallace, South Dakota? And he went to church, though, in Dolan, at the Methodist Church, where I go about every other Sunday and do a lot of preaching down there. You know, Hubert Humphrey served our country, one of the few, with distinction and without scandal. Not one ounce of scandal with him. He was a good boy from South Dakota. And that's what we do with our South Dakota boys. He served our country so well. Well, over the years, he often, in biographical information that's written about him, you can check it out, he often gave credit for his clean nose from a little church, like that little church down there in Dolan, still going. You know, people who have learned life lessons from maybe small places, is that you? You came from a small place. Can sometimes end up being big people doing big things and in service, especially to others. Again, a characteristic of veterans, I think, meant for all of us. There's a story in the Bible about a person who was in great need. Here he was laying all beaten up in a ditch along a busy road, people going by and back and forth. Was he sick down there? Had he been in an accident? Details are a little bit skimpy. But the story just says he was in great need down there in the ditch. Would anybody along that busy road stop and offer assistance? Would you do me a favor? I want to make sure you don't fall asleep on me. Let's read this passage together. I bet you thought I forgot the scripture. Here we go. Let's read it. In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So to a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have had. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. This is the word of the Lord. You know, the late Dr. Martin Luther King sized up the people who were on the road that day as they walked by the man in the ditch. Listen to King, his observation. He said the first question, which the priest and the Levite asked, was, if I stop to help this man, what will happen to me, poor me? But the Good Samaritan, he reversed the question. If I do not stop to help this man, what will happen to him? End of quote. I was in a restaurant one day a long time ago. In walks what we'd probably call today a street person. He walked in, he had a backpack on, went off in a corner by himself. He didn't stop and get any food. He just sat down. Most of the people in the restaurant that day totally ignored him, pretended like he wasn't there. And then 3 college-age boys walked in. They sat down, but then one suddenly got up and he walked over to the man, sat down next to him. They exchanged some words. The young man gets up, goes up, gets a bunch of food, brings it back, sets it in front of the man. Now, what about this young man? This young man looked in a ditch, found someone in need, anyone to work. So sacrifice is one characteristic I've found in so many veterans. The interests of others coming before their own. In so many people of all ages in or out of uniform over the years. But yet another characteristic I've found in veterans is, number two, their spirit of gratitude. They tend to not take anything for granted, but with gratitude. Vets, much more into real life intelligence rather than artificial intelligence, which is so popular today. Unapologetic about the opportunity to serve their country, actually grateful for it, even under personal cost. Some years ago, I received a call out of the blue from the Chicago headquarters of, a Baptist organization that I was once associated with. Okay, that's behind me. Okay, I got that out of my system. Okay, or you're all going to walk out on me. What's a Baptist doing out there preaching? And so anyway, at that time I was with them, and I remember the lady in the office in Chicago, she said, John, she said, there's a guy who's been calling several times, and he's trying to locate you. He claims that he was in one of your platoons, or one of the groups where you served as a chaplain, and he's trying to get a hold of you. And he said, do you mind if we give him some information so he can contact you? Well, he did. And I got a telephone call from this guy. Found out he was at the time I was his chaplain, he was only 18 years of age. But long story short, this guy's name, he does have a name. His name is Bob Wilcox. Was in one of the platoons I met with off and out in the field in Vietnam. As a young man, he was very lonely. He was very depressed. He was about finished with life, and he was about ready to take his own life. Fortunately, he had a change of heart. Do you know that just yesterday, I got a very warm text from Bob. He lives out in North Carolina. And he reminded me of something I'd forgotten about. He said, Chaplain, he never calls me John. It's either Chaplain or Sir. Oh, that's the way it should be. No, anyway. So, and he said, in the text that I got yesterday, he said, Chaplain, he said, I recently bought a recording of Jesus Christ Superstar for my own. He said, you brought that out to the field one day with your little tape recorder, and you played that, and you talked. And he said, he talked about Jesus, and he said, and that all changed my life. What an amazing thing. As a grown man, I'm so happy to report that Bob became the pilot of big jumbo jets, transport jets, and had become quite successful over the years following his time in Southeast Asia. But then, okay, we finally reconnected here and back up a little bit. Some years ago, I'm now living in Aberdeen. He and his wife are on a trip, cross-country trip from North Carolina in their RV. They had their dog with them. They were in Sioux Falls. He calls and he says, John, he said, I'd like to come up to, Sheila and I, his wife, would like to come up to Aberdeen, have lunch with you. We're going to leave the dog in the RV down here in Sioux Falls. Could we come up and have lunch with you? And I said, oh yeah, come on up. Can you imagine how I'm feeling? And I said, oh yeah, come on up. So we sat down at Ruby Tuesday's, had a great lunch. And then curiosity got the best of me. And I said, Bob, all this trouble you went through for little old me, just to get to meet little old me. And I said, why did you do that? Oh, he said, I just wanted to say thank you. That was it. That's all he said. That's all he had to say. I just want to say thank you. And Bob, to me, is an example of most veterans. They may have issues, but they seem to be thankful people who never get over being thankful. They are much, I suppose, like the monks who are so determined. Vets are determined. These monks, they lived high on a mountain overlooking a little village. And every once in a while, they'd come down to a little village and get their supplies. One day, one of the monks came down to the village, and a villager stopped the monk and said, sir, he said, excuse me. He said, hey, he said, man, what do you guys do up there all day long, you monks? All day long, 24 hours a day, what do you do? And the monk said, well, tell you what. He said, we fall down and we get up. We fall down and we get up. We fall down and we get up. You see, God gives us all not only a get up and go spirit, but a spirit of getting up when we fall down. Never give up. Keep going. He put that in you. Jeff Bauman, some of you will remember the story as I start telling you a bit about it. It will remind you of what happened. Jeff Bauman was standing at the finish line of the Boston Marathon on April the 15th, 2013, when two bombs exploded. He lost both of his legs. In the movie, you'll see it there. The name of the movie is actually Stronger. It's about his life. But then later came the Las Vegas shooting. Remember that? No, we want to forget that too. But then Jeff, his heart starts to pound in feelings for those people because of what he had been through. And he posted a message on Facebook to the surviving victims. Here's what he said. He said, "I know your pain." But then he assured them, he went on, "You will walk again, you will laugh again, you will dance again, you will live again." What a service of ministry to others who were hurting. Where did those survival skills come from that were in Jeff Bauman and that he passed on to others in need? I believe God puts life in us, puts determination in us, and out of his classroom passes on to each of us that spirit of, I will get up, I'm not a quitter, I am determined, I will get on, I will dance again, I will live again. Veterans. Veterans have had to do that over the years. They've had to learn to think outside the box to survive. You know, when I went to the field in Vietnam as a chaplain, there were two items I kept running out of as the young GI. The average age of a Vietnam GI or grunt was 19. Average age of World War II GI, 26. Basically, high school kids were sent over there to fight the war. Those two items were a pocket New Testament and a metal cross on a chain to hang around their neck. And it was true. No unbelievers in a foxhole. But there is a characteristic, another characteristic called imagination of a veteran. Without imagination, we're all sunk. GIs have to think outside the box, had to think outside the box sometimes for their own survival, even with all the equipment that was issued to them. So those three things. But just before I forget it, do you know that veterans never get tired of you saying to them, thank you for your service? They never get tired of hearing that. I've already said it 15, 20 times here since I got to church this morning. Well, anyway, let me just kind of wrap things up. I actually have a two-part conclusion today to this presentation. First, the definition of a veteran that I read not long ago. And it goes like this. A veteran is someone who, at one point in his or her life, wrote a blank check made payable to the United States of America for an amount of up to and including my life. And then a second part of the conclusion to this message. It is the veteran, not the preacher, who have given us freedom of religion. It is the veteran, not the reporter, who has given us freedom of the press. It is the veteran, not the poet, who has given us freedom of speech. It is the veteran, not the campus organizer, who has given us freedom to assemble. It is the veteran, not a lawyer, who has given us the right to a fair trial. It is the veteran, not the politician, who has given us the right to vote. It is the veteran who salutes the flag, who serves under the flag. And now I want you to see a lot of veterans, many of them you know, on this video. Let's watch. Okay, I'm going to ask you to do something that you're not used to doing. Okay, well, first of all, stand if you're able. You can do that. And then we Methodists, you know, we usually keep our hands in our pockets. But I'm going to ask you if you'd lift your hands, if you're able to do that. And I'm going to ask God to bless our lives in a very special way. And then as you hold your hands high, if you've never committed your life to Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask you to do that right now. Make sure you're in a right relationship with your God. And then see where he might send you from here in deeds and acts of service to the kingdom of God, to the building up of his church, and to your welfare and the welfare of our nation that is so hurting right now. And so we pray. May we leave here today, Heavenly Father, with a renewed sense of appreciation for what we have, and then a willingness to do what we personally need to do to guarantee a secure and promising future for our lives in our country, as others have already done and are doing. And for those who've never received Jesus, that they might do that at this moment. Jesus Christ, come into my life, forgive me of my sin, and send me on my way. In your living name we pray, asking for your special blessing on this Veterans Day weekend. Amen.